All right, well, as Ron Paul's poll numbers rise, Newt Gingrich has gone on the offensive this week, suggesting, without naming the Texas congressman, that the world is too dangerous for President Paul. Our next guest wonders whether Gingrich might be too dangerous to be president. Joining us now, Jacob Sullum, senior editor at Reason Magazine. So who's more dangerous, Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich?
Well, that's not a hard call for me to make. Newt Gingrich, I think, is bad in the ways that conservatives tend to be bad, but especially so. And he's not particularly good in the way that conservatives tend to be good. I don't think he's a limited government guy in any important respect. He doesn't have credibility in terms of controlling government spending. Whatever the pet project is that he happens to have in mind at the moment, he's happy to have the government subsidize it, whether it's missions to Mars or prescription drugs for old people. He was one of the main people pushing that big expansion of Medicare, which took a program that was already heading to bankruptcy and just made matters worse. So he doesn't have credibility as a conservative budget cutter, and he's even worse when it comes to civil liberties issues.
But many will say, well, we should be exploring Mars, and you know what? Maybe drug smugglers should get the death penalty after all if they are hurting our people.
Well, you know, people have lots of great ideas for wonderful projects. The government can't pay for them all. That's Newt Gingrich's problem, is that he has no discipline when it comes to imagining good uses for taxpayers' money. He wants to subsidize alternative sources of energy as well, and whatever happens to pop into his mind is something that he thinks the government should subsidize. That's not the mark of a true fiscal conservative. And in terms of the war on drugs, I think, yes, I think many Americans do support the war on drugs. Obviously, most Republican politicians do, so that's not surprising, but it is the way that he goes over the top with proposed solutions like executing people for smuggling drugs. He admires Singapore's drug policy, where they can force anybody to undergo a drug test at will, and where people get automatically executed for possessing a certain amount. That takes a bad policy and makes it even worse.
I think there are a lot of people, though, who would agree with him, though, and there seem to be, because his poll numbers are holding up. What then of Mitt Romney? Is he just as dangerous?
I don't think so. I think he has a more moderate temperament and a more moderate sensibility. He's certainly not a limited government guy either, but he's just not as extreme. I mean, I'll give you another example, and again, this may be something that isn't necessarily unpopular, but it horrified me that Newt Gingrich not only condemned the so-called Ground Zero Mosque, but he said that the government should stop it from being built. That is, it should say, because these people are Muslims, they're not allowed to build a prayer space on their own property. You know, this is obviously a violation of the First Amendment. Most other critics, including conservatives, said this project should not go forward, at least conceded that the people building it had a constitutional right to do so. Gingrich is calling for violating the First Amendment, violating the Constitution, in order to stop this project that he disapproves of.
Well,
and, to me, that's just appalling.
I understand that, but I do think it was a sensitive... It was a sensitive issue at the time, and Newt was speaking on behalf of a lot of people. Let's move on to Ron Paul at the time. Is he an isolationist? Because he completely opposes military force. So where does that leave us?
Well, it's not true that he completely opposes the use of military force. He supports it when it's appropriate to defend the country. He supported the authorization for the use of military force after the 9/11 attacks, for example. And there are lots of other ways to engage with the world that don't involve violence. I think it's, you know, he supports free trade. He supports freedom of travel. He supports cultural exchanges. He supports diplomacy. He supports migration. You know, these are all kinds of nonviolent ways to interact with the world. And to say because somebody does not believe in the promiscuous use of military force, he's an isolationist. Is to assume that the only way that you can interact with the world is by dropping bombs or shooting people.
Well, and that was Michelle Bachmann's claim, that we're just going to sit around and wait to be nuked before Ron Paul would ever do anything.
Well, look, obviously people have different ideas about what is necessary to defend the country, but I think at the very least, when you're proposing an intervention, you have to make a credible case that the country's security is at stake, and sometimes the government doesn't even bother to try. In the case of Libya, for example, that was an intervention that had no justification whatsoever in terms of national security. I think both Iraq and Afghanistan, insofar as we have stayed there for years and years, proved to be big mistakes that did not enhance U.S. security. So what he's saying is, given these huge errors, we should be skeptical in the future when people say that Iran, for example, is an intolerable threat to national security, that they should be forced to prove that case, and we shouldn't just take their word for it.
Right. A lot of people out there, I think, see it differently, though. But thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. Jacob Sullum with the Reason Foundation.
Thank you.
Thank you.